All right, welcome back to the show. And joining me now is the editor-in-chief, the big dog over at thedailycaller.com. He's also host of Fox and Friends Weekend. His name is Tucker Carlson. How you doing, Tucker?
Ladies and gentlemen, Derek Hunter. I'm doing great.
Now,
America's collapsing, but I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, I mean, you got a nice view. You've got nice offices down there. So have you ever seen any – let's talk about the Obamacare rollout here over the last few weeks. It is the news. It's not just a small story. This debacle, you know, a website, I remember when we were starting the Daily Caller, it didn't cost nearly half a billion to $1 billion, and it worked when it launched. Have you ever seen anything like this in a government failure coming out right out of the gate? The horse just drops dead?
Well, it worked the first day because it had to. We had no choice
right.
Because we're a for-profit enterprise, and a failing website turns off readers and users. So, you know, the government doesn't face that pressure. I mean, they have the power of the law. You're required to participate in Obamacare. You have no choice. And so whenever there's a mandate, you know, you don't spend a lot of time wooing people. You just, at gunpoint, make them buy your product, and that's what they're doing.
Yeah, it gives a whole new meaning to the phrase, it's good enough for government work. But
exactly.
We're looking at a situation where no one is accountable. That's the most disturbing thing. That government failed at something massive is not a surprise.
Oh, that's where you're wrong. Secretary Sebelius said yesterday, actually opened remarks by saying, I'm accountable.
No, but yeah, but what does that mean?
The next 2 hours blaming other people.
Right. Blaming other people, and she won't resign. The president won't fire her. Matthew Cooper at National Journal said it's because they have a really good friendship and they both like basketball. I mean, is this any way to govern a country?
Well, I mean, you know, the truth, which is if you, in Washington, if you say you're accountable, that accounts as accountability.
Right.
Right. So, I mean, the nightly newscast led last night, of course, inevitably with Sebelius looking in the camera and saying, I'm accountable. But it doesn't mean anything. I mean, I can, you know, I can say I'm a two-humped camel, but it doesn't make me one. You know, but in Washington, you sort of are what you say you are. So the president, you know, he's a very deep policy guy. He's kind of a nerd. He's really an intellectual, really, because all the evidence suggests this is a guy who sleeps through meetings, who golfs more than he deals with national security, who doesn't really get involved in the granular decision-making of his administration. That's not the profile of an intellectual. That's the profile of someone who's good at giving speeches.
I wrote a piece today on Town Hall called The President Who Wasn't There. And, you know, Benghazi, we don't know what he was doing. But on the IRS scandal, he said he found out about it from the media. And the same goes for Fast and Furious. And in the launch of this website debacle, he didn't know that it wasn't working until the day of. Anybody
exactly.
under you or anybody above you at Fox, they'd be
exactly.
fired immediately.
No, of course. But look, no one gets fired in the federal government, as you know. You're literally more likely to die on the job than you are to be fired from a federal job. So no one's getting fired, period. This we know. The question, I mean, by the way, people's attention span is very, very short.
Right.
Will people even remember all of this? You know, turns out the IRS was, you know, employed to crush the president's political enemies. Did anyone get fired for that? Did anyone get fired for, you know, the NSA scandal? Turns out they're spying on you. You're a suspect.
No,
did anyone take the blame for that? No.
Right now,
I mean, no one ever gets fired.
Right now, in the headline on thedailycaller.com is about emails from Lois Lerner to the FEC sending private confidential information. She was given 4 months paid leave and then allowed to retire with a full pension.
Well, sure. Of course, which you're paying for. I mean, look, this is never going to change. This is the nature, not just of the federal bureaucracy, but of bureaucracy itself. I mean, any large organization is going to be inefficient, and you need large organizations to do large and blunt tasks like building the federal highway system or defeating the Nazis or right, you know, mm-hmm. large things are best done by large organizations. But anything that requires nuance or subtlety, shades of gray, a finer human touch is not something government's going to be good at doing. So, like, the only answer is to expect less from the government and expect more from ourselves. And that's not the direction this country is moving, unfortunately.
No, I want to ask you to take off your journalism hat, Tucker Carlson, of the Daily Caller, and put on your strategist hat. My idea for the Republicans going forward, particularly the conservatives, is when they come, when the Democrats come, and they're already seeing it, and sadly some Republicans are joining in, trying to fix Obamacare. This is a problem. We've got to fix it. I say this is the law as it was written. Don't change a comma. Anytime the president changes anything through executive fiat, go right to court. This is the medicine they wanted. They've got to take it. They just don't want to take it because they thought it was a pill and it turned out to be a suppository.
Well, exactly. That's vulgar but true. No, it's, of course, that's exactly right. I mean, you know, why would you want to live by the laws you pass? I mean, it's so telling. That was so telling, the debate, brief as it was, over the Vitter rule, which would have required the Congress to abide by Obamacare. And there was backroom dealing, as you know, on a bipartisan level over this. Apparently, mm-hmm. It was reported, and I think it is likely true, that the Speaker of the House, John Boehner, Republican, had a private email exchange with Harry Reid, the leader of the Democrats in the Senate, over how they could keep their special carve-out from Obamacare. So, like, in the end, their real interest is themselves.
It's sad but true. Now, last night on Hannity, Tucker, you had a bit of a reunion of sorts. You got back together with James Carville. And, you know, you weren't in studio together, so you couldn't choke each other. But he was talking the day before to Bill O'Reilly about how the president didn't lie when he said you could, if you like your health insurance, you can keep it. He should have just perhaps been a little more clear. He might have chosen his words a little better. Don't you miss the old Crossfire days sitting across from Skeletor there?
No, I don't. I love James. James is a good friend of mine and a great person, I think, and not at his best when he's talking about politics because obviously he's insane on the subject, and I can't vouch for what he actually thinks even on the subject. But I would say this. James didn't even bother to try and pretend that Obama was telling the truth when he said you could keep your health insurance. Instead, the new argument is, well, what you thought was health insurance wasn't really health insurance. It was a Wild West plan. And so that's the new talking point. It's the Wild West out there. And you're so stupid. And you're so irresponsible. And it turns out the federal government cares more about your family's health care than you do and is better enabled to make decisions about that health care than you are. That you can't be trusted because you're going to buy some crappy plan.
That's really
inadequate. It doesn't pay for, like, sex change operations and hair transplants. And, like, what are you doing?
That's,
you
know, really the mentality of a progressive, though. They know what's best for you. And progressives of either party, John McCain is just as guilty of this as any Democrat. They know what's best for you anymore. No.
So they're basically saying, yeah, you can keep your health insurance as long as it's the health insurance we want you to have. So you have freedom of choice as long as you're making our choices.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
They're just, like, ripping the mask off. When I was a kid, I remember my father saying to me, scratch a liberal and you'll find a fascist. And, you know, it used to be kind of hidden beneath the surface. They say, you know, I'm promising a brave new world. And obviously, you know, there are going to be some compliance costs or whatever euphemism they were using. Now they're not even pretending. Now it's just like, shut up and obey. Just do it.
It really is frightening. Is there an end game to this? Is Obamacare here to stay? Or do you think that people will rise up a la Medicare catastrophic?
Not.
Medicare catastrophic in 1989 didn't last a year. And that only cost seniors $13 a month for prescription drugs and better benefits, or better determined by Washington, and they were throwing themselves on the hood of Dan Rostenkowski's car, and they Congress repealed that as fast as they could.
Well, that's it. That's exactly it. I mean, look, Obamacare is never going away, strictly speaking, because the Democrats have too much invested in it. I mean, they lost 63 seats over it in 2010. They've gone all the way. They can't, like, admit that it was a failure, but it also can't work. So what Obamacare is going to become is a kind of stopgap program for people in the middle who aren't covered by Medicare or Medicaid, both of which will be radically expanded. They're popular programs. They're bankrupt in the country. Mm. They're unsustainable. Anyone who does math can tell you that. But they're also really popular. Republicans habitually defend them. Democrats obviously live to defend them. And so those programs will be bumped out and basically to cover virtually everybody except for, you know, some small categories of people who will be covered by Obamacare. So you're getting single payer health care. You're getting government, just flat out government run health care, but it'll be done in a stealthy way through programs whose names you already recognize that aren't scary to most people.
Is there a winner in all of this on the Republican side? Ted Cruz, you know, was accused of shutting down the government over Obamacare, and now it turns out that, you know, his prophecies were true. What he was saying would happen, his coming to pass, is he ultimately a winner? We had the Democrats are clearly afraid of him. They had Harry Reid yesterday on Rachel Maddow saying that who I understand you inflicted on the country, by the way, but saying that everything that Ted Cruz stands for is the opposite or is not what America stands for. They're afraid of him.
Well, Harry Reid is like a nasty, shriveled up old man.
Yeah. He's Dick Smothers from Casino.
He is really an angry, bitter person. But I would say, you know, look, Ted Cruz didn't win. I think Ted Cruz is really smart and impressive. And I would also say that it was Obama who shut down the government, you know,
right.
Everybody as much as Ted Cruz did or the Republicans in Congress did. But if your goal was to highlight the excesses and failures of Obamacare, they failed. I mean, they failed. All the attention for, I mean, this is a well-known point, but I mean, for those 2 weeks was focused on the Republicans and their radical and, you know what I mean? So like as a public relations strategy, it did not work.
But as it differentiates the Republicans from the Democrats, because if people will even remember the government shutdown, they'll remember that it was over Obamacare and now Obamacare is a mess. Republicans tried to stop it in some people's
minds.
Yeah,
maybe. Obamacare is more popular than it was before the shutdown. So that suggests a failed public relations strategy. I think Cruz's heart is in the right place. I would trust Cruz over the leadership for sure. I think Cruz is one of the smartest members of the Senate, and I know I've talked to Ted Cruz a lot, and I really believe he's genuinely smart and genuinely conservative. He's not a phony. He's not a false guy, unlike so many of these people. But again, as a public relations strategy, I think if they could redo it, they would instead say, "Look, you know, we're not shutting down the government. Obamacare passed against our wishes, and you watch. Wait till you see what happens. It's going to be a freaking disaster." And if they had done that, I think even Ted Cruz would agree in his private moments that that would have been a more effective strategy.
Possibly true. Now, Tucker, it's Halloween. You got any big plans for Halloween? Anybody dressing up around the Daily Caller offices?
I live in Halloween HQ, where our neighborhood is like in Northwest DC is like Halloween bonkers. We have parties and up and down our street. Everyone has, you know, liquor on the front lawn. I'm actually cutting out of work at 2 to go carve pumpkins and get ready with my kids. It's very serious. Halloween is like a secular holiday, religious holiday in my neighborhood.
Yeah, well, people really embrace it. You going to dress up?
Well, I mean, no more than usual. I mean, my dressing up takes place under the outer layer. You know, not everyone can see it, but I know it's there, and that's what matters.
I've seen it, sadly. Tucker Carlson, DailyCaller.com. Now, Tucker, I have some news for you. We've been friends for 5 years. I popped the question 2 days ago.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did.
Good call.
For 5 years, you've been pestering me.
Are we still on the radio? Because I'll let your listeners know that I have been bugging you for like 4 out of 5 years to do that. Or low these many years you've been with Heather, who's just such a wonderful person. You're wise to do that.
I had to lock her in before she wised up, and my parents were in town, and we went to the Capitol building, and I surprised her in the spot where she told me years ago she fell in love with me. So,
Mazel tov, as we say in the Episcopal Church. When are you getting married?
Oh, geez. It's been 2 days. Everybody asked me. I don't know. It's soon. I mean, not like tomorrow, not this year, but probably next year. We haven't. The shock is still off. She was completely blindsided.
I'm going to email her right now, both to congratulate her, but also to hold your feet to the fire, to make good on that promise.
Oh, Lord, I spent a lot on a ring. I'm not going to let it just sit out there, Tucker. I'm going to do this.
You actually gave her a ring?
Yes. When I went and saw you in New York and you were telling me about the Diamond District, and I said, I know where it is. I've been there. I bought it that weekend.
That's incredible. Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm pulling up my computer and email right now. Oh, that's so exciting.
All right. Well, I thought you might be excited. Now you can give her a hard time about
marriage. I really am. That's great.
Give her a hard time about low standards, but don't tell her she should correct them.
I'm not going to. I don't want to jinx it.
All right. Tucker Carlson, DailyCaller.com. Appreciate your time today, buddy.
Thanks, Derek.
We'll take a break right here and be right back on The Derek Hunter Show on WBAL.